Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by our next guest. It's been a while. Our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, joining us to talk about the report that the Royals could potentially, maybe, possibly trade Salvador Perez. Vern, how you doing, man? Long time no talk.
Yeah, I'm all right. How are you?
I wish we could talk and it'd be like a positive thing. Man, the Royals have really won. They won 7 of the last 9 games. They're turning thing around. That's normally not why you come on the show anymore.
No, not for the past 7 years. No, it's been a while since we've had one of those conversations.
All right, you know what I'm about to ask you. Are you prepared for what I'm going to ask you? Because I ask you this every time. Once the summer hits, I start every interview with the same question.
Uh-huh.
What's the most interesting thing happening right now with the Royals?
Outside of, I don't find the stadium interesting. Some might point to the stadium. You already mentioned the trade deadline, Salvi and Aroldis Chapman. Some may point to that. But if you're interested in the team itself, what's most interesting about the team itself? Daniel Lynch making the start tonight. Brady Singer on the hill tomorrow. Those two hold the reasons for hope in 2024. If we end this season and you don't feel when you drive to the ballpark with Lynch or Singer on the hill, if you're driving to the ballpark and don't feel like the Royals are going to win with those two on the bump, if they don't give you that win day feel, 2024, we're going to be having these kind of conversations again.
Vern, for the most part, I thought they looked lifeless against Miami. I mean, these games were played in front of nobody. These are two of the least attended teams in Major League Baseball. And the Royals just went out there and laid a complete egg. They were a little bit competitive on Monday, losing 9-6. But on Tuesday and Wednesday, I mean, you can't play much more lifeless baseball than they did.
And to go along with what I just said about excited for Lynch tonight and Singer tomorrow, the previous three games were started by Jordan Lyles, a 39-year-old Zach Greinke, and an opener preparing for Mike Myers. You can't pitch. You can't win. The issue for this team all season has been they can't pitch. They are rotation-wise, fourth highest ERA in baseball. The bullpen has the second highest ERA in baseball. Not to mention, they played some of the worst defense I've seen a Royals team play in some time in that series against Miami. So, yeah, you picked the wrong time to tune in.
What are we doing with Jordan Lyles? I mean, it's not like Jordan Lyles is 21 years old that we're thinking that we're going to work through something with Jordan Lyles. He is 32 years old. He is 0-10 with almost a 7 ERA. What are we doing every night?
He is every fifth day filling the spot. Someone needs to pitch 5 or 6 innings, and there is not a better option right now available to this organization. Now, they signed him to a 2-year, $17 million deal, so it's not as if they're in any rush to push him out the door. But he is on pace to give this team 170 innings. And for a team that's careening towards 114 losses right now, you just want it over with, and he's going to eat up a bunch of frames.
Right now, we're talking to our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, getting his thoughts on what's happening right now with the Kansas City Royals. Let's talk about the trade deadline. We'll get to Salvi in a little bit, but I want to talk big picture and just kind of give ourselves an extended time to talk about Salvador Perez. Other than Aroldis Chapman, who else on this team has value that they would realistically part with?
Well, you say realistically as if this regime is the same as the old. And we'll find that out, I guess, over the next few years. But I think everyone is on the table. We're going to talk about Salvador Perez. That was never a discussion under the previous regime. So to me, the only way you part with one of these young, homegrown position players or pitchers that you've developed over time, the only way you part with them is if they're performing well. right? If you're selling high. So Bobby, not happening. MJ, not happening. Brady Singer, honestly, man, if he could keep up what he's done over his past three, four outings, if it really is that he's locking back into that 2022 form, well, then Brady Singer might be the most valuable trade chip that this team has, and I don't see why they wouldn't be realistically open to moving him. So as far as guys with expiring contracts, guys up there in age where it's just obvious, of course you're going to move them. Aroldis Chapman, no doubt. Would someone possibly be interested in Nicky Lopez as a utility piece? Maybe. Yeah, you look out in that bullpen, Carlos Hernandez, a Scott Barlow, a Taylor Clark. Anyone performing well in that bullpen can be had. But Aroldis Chapman, and then it's Scott Barlow, I would say, is probably number two right now. And then if Brady Singer keeps it up, he leapfrogs both of them to become that number one trade chip.
But, Vern, doesn't this just feel like a sad cycle that the Royals are in, that for the last 5 years I've asked you who's valuable at the deadline, and the number two and number one answer have always been some relief pitcher? Like, why do we do this every single offseason? Like, they'll pick up somebody, and then at the deadline they'll flip
them. But
they
haven't done it. I mean, they don't move Scott Barlow. The only one that they move is the expiring contract. Like, this year it would only be Aroldis Chapman. In years previous, it was only Andrew Benintendi and Carlos Santana. It was only Jorge Soler and some reliever before that. No, you need to be proactive. You need to say, yes, we really like Vinny Pasquantino. We really like Brady Singer, but we're not going to win this season, obviously. And we have huge holes in the rotation that likely can only be fixed by spending, $50, $60 million in free agency. So if we're not going to be good this year, not going to be good next year, yes, we like Vinny Pasquantino, but by the time we're good, he's going to be 29 and a year or two away from free agency. You know what? Let's cash in. Let's bring in three pieces that can join that group down at A-ball, and maybe the next wave of Royals pitching and Royals talent can give us some sustained wins. But the issue over the past, and you say, haven't we done this year in and year out? Yeah, we've had these conversations. The Royals just haven't made that big move since parting with Will Myers in December of 2012.
I don't think as an organization they even have the opportunity to trade a Brady Singer. Like, let's just think about the message that it sends. Like, Brady Singer was supposed to be part of the problem, or excuse me, part of the solution. If you trade Brady Singer, I think you are telling your fan base, A, we finally admit that we were wrong. I think in some ways it also tells the fan base, hey, we don't know what we're doing here. We had a plan, and we were willing to stick through the plan. I mean, you've got Brady Singer for the next 3 years of arbitration after this, and he's 26 years old. I'm with you. Maybe if we're talking about, hey, what's the most thing you can get? You get a couple of prospects. I understand what you're saying from the baseball sense. I just don't know how you can sell that to the public if you traded Brady Singer here in a few weeks.
Well, what are they selling right now to the public? How positive are the returns right now when you have conversations with people about the Royals and how they feel towards the organization? It's not as if perception right now is glowing. It's very negative. Unless you're inside the ballpark talking with those Royals fans that live and die with the team, perception right now is as bad as it's been since, going into 2012. So what do they have to lose? I mean, do you think trading a Brady Singer or Vinny Pasquantino is going to – trading Salvi is going to drive more people away than trading Singer and Vinny, and all three of them make baseball sense. So I really don't see what the team has to lose. And as far as trading Brady would be some sort of admission that they were wrong in the past, well, firing Dane Moore, I think, was the cleaning of the past. That was them saying what we've done in the past didn't work. It sounds like we're just going back to the conversation of, do you believe this organization, this front office, is different than the organization and front office was 2 years ago? I think it is.
No, that makes sense. And right now we're talking to our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. Do you think any of this matters if they're not willing to spend that $50 or $60 million that you were just talking about? Because this is the one thing that has frustrated me the most, and I know you don't want to talk about the stadium. John Sherman told us that we have $1 billion that we are willing to spend for a ballpark village. We're going to need your help on the stadium, but if the things around the stadium, we have the capital to pay for. Well, if you have the capital to do that, how do you not have the capital to field a competitive baseball team? Like, I feel like our expectations for the Royals are so low and they can't even meet that. No one is saying that the Royals need to compete to win, need to compete to make the playoffs. But look at their division right now. Nobody is over 500. If the Royals were just okay, there'd be some buzz and excitement about the team. But they're one of the five worst teams in the sport.
Yeah, or just slightly bad, you would be in second place. Yeah, no, no. What you're saying, this was my attitude in March and April. And, man, I was just so frustrated at the beginning of the season at how they were basically handing out white flags on opening day. I'm like, hang on, what are we doing here? How come we're all just going along with what is so blatantly obvious? Not enough pitching, not enough talent to compete in this division, to compete in this sport. Yeah, no, that's a very fair point. I went into last offseason saying you need to give me three pitchers. The pitchers that I wanted, all signed deals around $12, $13, $14 million. And now the teams that they chose, if I was in their shoes, I would have chose those teams over Kansas City as well. And I don't know if I'm the Royals, if I would have overspent. Because, again, this is an evaluation season. Why? Because this organization is presenting itself as a we don't know exactly what we have in these young hitters. Let's watch them for 6 months, and then we'll decide if we're going to spend big. I don't think Royals fans need to embrace that, need to accept that, but that's what they're doing. And yeah, they have the money. Look, if these young hitters continue to show that they're winners, maybe they're not superstars, but Haas and Moose and Kane, those guys weren't superstars, but they were winners. So long as these guys can keep it up over the next 4 months, yeah, there's no excuse for John Sherman to not go out and spend that type of money that it's going to take to improve this pitching staff and hold the feet of J.J. Piccolo to the fire to make the kind of moves to help this pitching staff. Remember, after that 2012 season, they re-signed Jeremy Guthrie, they trade for Irvin Santana, and they trade for James Shields and Wade Davis. That's 900 innings in the rotation next year from three trades. Not easy to do, but that's the job that J.J. Piccolo's been tasked with.
Right now, we're talking to our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, going over the Royals at the trade deadline. Been a while since we talked to Vern, just kind of having a reset right now on what's going on with the Kansas City Royals. All right, let's talk about Salvador Perez. Let's talk about the trade deadline and the story that was in The Athletic. This is my stance on it, Vern. Because of the no trade clause, this is 100% up to Salvi. If Salvi came out tomorrow, and I don't think he would do this publicly, but he certainly could privately, and this is why you have an agent. If Salvador Perez goes to J.J. Piccolo and says, I feel like I'm at the end of my career and I want one more opportunity to play in the postseason, I don't think we're close to doing that here in Kansas City. I would like for you guys to trade me. I think the Royals have an obligation to trade Salvador Perez. Do you agree with that?
No, they don't have an obligation. But, you know, it would be a nice thing to do. But they've done right by Salvi really from the jump. So, no, I don't think they owe Salvi anything. And I don't think Salvi would come to him and say, I think I'm at the end of my career. Now, Salvi is acting as if he has at least another 5-6 seasons to go. Because, again, what drives him, especially in a season as lost as this one is, what drives him is Cooperstown and making it to the Hall of Fame. That's going to be about accumulating numbers and, yeah, putting up numbers in the postseason, right? If he can lead another franchise to a world title, that's obviously going to help his candidacy for the Hall of Fame. This organization, this front office, has been open about trading Salvador Perez. I think even before this season, they were willing and open to move. I mean, they still owe him, what, $20 million next year? $22 million in 2025, so a grand total of $44 million when you add in the buyout, not to mention the remaining $10-plus million they owe him this season. Yeah, they would move him, I say in a heartbeat, but they're not going to give him away. It's not a money dump because that PR battle, if you just give him away, I don't know how you come back from that one. If you give away the only thing that brings many people to the stadium, and that is, of course, Salvador Perez.
What would you classify as giving him away? I guess I'm asking in terms of, like, at this point with Salvador Perez, I'm not really sure what his value is. He's a over 30-year-old catcher, and you and I both know at that position, it's not like we think Salvi plays at this level for another 5 years. That's normally not how it works at that position. So let's say
he can hit
going
for the next two. He's hitting really well. He's one of the five, six best offensive catchers in the game. Great leadership, a track record. You know he's not going to tighten up in big situations. I think those Salvi that we're watching this year with an 800 OPS, I think you could watch that again next year when you're paying him 20. Now, 2025 is age 35 season. You'll obviously start to see some decline. But if you're a good team, a big market, or a team that's not pinching pennies, I don't view taking on Salvador Perez's contract as some sort of gigantic albatross.
No, I would 100% agree with you. But I think you, to your point, I think you have to look at it if you're the Yankees, just pick a random team that we know has money. I think you're looking at this as like a three-year option with Salvador Perez. We're going to buy him for this year, and then after this, we probably have two, maybe 3 years of a good option of a player. What kind of prospects does that get you back in return?
Well, again, in that report, Ken Rosenthal mentions the possibility of packaging Salvador Perez with an Aroldis Chapman, who is one of the most sought-after relievers on the market right now. You know, that to me would garner you a top five prospect from whatever team's farm system. That's what I would want, just because of that description, right? If you come on the air and tell Kansas City, Salvador Perez has been traded to the San Diego Padres for Joe Schmo, who comes in, according to MLB.com, as their 18th best prospect. That will not go over. It's either a collection of three of their top 20 prospects where you're hoping one of them hits, or it's a top five prospect. It's got to be something, because most people, and myself included, I'm not diving into these farm systems of other teams, but I know how rankings work. I know how lists work. And if you're giving me someone that's not on a list, this city's going to revolt. And the 10,000 that you bank on every single night at Kauffman Stadium is going to be cut in half. So that, to me, is a proper return. Something that at least gets you excited about the future, because, hey, he was one of their best, and now he's joining our best.
Do you think it makes more sense for the Royals to keep or trade Salvador Perez? Like, you mentioned the effect that you think it has on attendance. You mentioned the just overall psyche of Royals fans. If you're J.J. Piccolo, and let's say that Salvi comes to you and says, hey, I'm open to the possibility. Obviously, depends on where you send me, but I'm open to the possibility. Do you think it makes more sense to keep him and sort of hope that, hey, we can turn this thing around? Or you think it makes more sense to trade him this deadline?
Well, you know, baseball-wise, it makes sense to keep him because of the example that he is, the leader that he is, just the total package. On the field, in the clubhouse, in the dugout, he's everything you could want. I mean, the guy hasn't played a meaningful game since, August of 2017, and yet continue. Man, you've heard it so much that it kind of goes in one ear and out the other, but every single day shows up with a smile, great attitude, gets the guys going in the clubhouse. It's amazing. It's amazing to watch him work. It's amazing to watch that energy. So it makes sense to keep him. I say that because if I'm J.J. Piccolo, I'm not eager to give away Salvador Perez. But I'm lobbing phone calls, right? I'm being the aggressor. I'm calling you to offer you, Salvi. I'm not sitting back waiting, but I'm not just going to give him away. The right deal comes across, it makes sense to move him. Right deal doesn't come across, you're not that desperate to part with $20 million, $44 million because I mean, your payroll's not that high to begin with, and who knows if you're going to sign a free agent. So keep them, but if that right deal comes along that will be palatable to this fan base, yeah, pull the trigger, because, again, this season's not getting any better.
That is our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show today to give us his thoughts on the Royals as we get closer to the trade deadline. Thanks, Vern.
All right, man, appreciate it.
Absolutely. That's our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show today. Always good to catch up with him. I got this tweet yesterday in relation to the Royals, and I saved it because I thought it was interesting and I wanted to read it to you guys. I absolutely not would trade Salvador Perez. Salvador Perez is our Miguel Cabrera. He is a reason for fans to show up to the park for a guy that clearly loves this team. And despite the lack of winning, he is a reminder of what we were in 2015. And every time he hits a home run, we all get to feel a little piece of that again. I was really thinking about this, and that's why I saved it. I think that mindset has crippled the Royals. I get it. Salvador Perez is a fan favorite, and he reminds you of really good times. Well, I think we're at the point with the Royals that I don't know if you can do both anymore. Now, Salvador Perez is still a productive player, so I wouldn't put him in the same category. But if this is simply about feeling good about what happened in 2015, then go get Eric Hosmer. If this is about feeling good and tapping into the past in a lost year, then let's really do it. But if this is about trying to build the best baseball team and get out of the hole that the Royals have created for themselves, Salvador Perez getting off the team is probably more of a positive than a negative. I don't want to trade Salvador Perez either. I thought by this time in his career that the Royals would be trending up. But let's be honest, they're not competing this year. And I would say that based on what we've seen so far, what reason do you have to think that they're going to win 84 games next season and be competitive? At the earliest we can restart this conversation is in 2025. That's the earliest that we can restart this conversation. So this is where I think you got to make the really hard decision. And I think the Royals for too long have sort of operated in this gray area. I think they operated in that gray area in 2017. I think they're operating in that gray area now with one of their most beloved players. It's going to be hard when you trade Salvador Perez, if you trade Salvador Perez. But if they're not going to spend a significant amount of money to get themselves out of it, you're going to need to get as many lottery tickets as you can and as many prospects and take as many shots of this thing if you can. If you're telling me that this offseason, John Sherman is looking out there, he is embarrassed by what he's seen, and he said, you know what, man, to hell with the payroll. I want to field a competitive team because this fan base owns it. We're going to spend $60 million, $70 million this offseason to make sure that this team gets to a viable competitive point. But I don't know if we have reason to think that's what they're going to do this offseason. They didn't do that this past offseason. Like, I thought the writing was on the wall this offseason. And I know we tread this very weird line of trying to be positive about the Royals, and you guys don't come here to hear me bag on the Royals. But the Royals gave us no reason to think this offseason that this season was going to be any different. They didn't make a single move or do anything to make you think that they were very serious about winning. You sort of get in what you put out. And that's exactly what has happened. The Royals didn't do a whole lot this offseason to improve off a bad year. And look, we have another bad year of lost Royals baseball.
I know that I don't look at the books, and I don't understand the value of tickets, and I don't understand the fans' connection. I understand all that. John Sherman has more in this decision than I do. I get that. But from purely a baseball perspective, to keep a player and not maximize his potential value on the trade market just to hold on to the memories of 8 years ago for a player on the field is foolish. And I'm not saying the fan is foolish to go out there for the nostalgia, and I'm not saying the Royals are foolish to go out there and sell you nostalgia. But if you can get a top, let's say 12 prospect, or maybe a top 12 prospect and then another top 20 prospect, if you package Chapman and Perez to Team X, and you do not do that, and your logic for not doing that is, hey, we don't want to have people forget about the good times, but now that Perez is off the team, then that is a major mistake. I understand ticket sales are part of the game, and J.J. Piccolo probably has pressure from ownership to make money. I understand all these things are at play. But at the end of the day, winning baseball is the most important thing. Winning baseball gets people back into the seats more than nostalgia. Winning baseball is the end-all be-all. And does anyone think by the next time this team is doing high-level winning, if at all, Salvador Perez is on the roster? Probably not. So get ahead of the curve and take the L from nostalgia's sake, but get ahead and get a prospect back who can get you more winning.
But it's also, I think, important to note to your point about attendance, Rob, people ain't going out there to see Salvador Perez now. The Royals are 28th in attendance. The two teams that they are ahead of are Tampa Bay and the A's. The A's are not a Major League Baseball team. So they're only ahead of one real baseball team. What's the negative for this upcoming season? I'm with you. You guys are going to be mad. You already mad at the Royals. Can you be more mad than what you are? Well, hey, I'm not going to the stadium. No, I'm really not going to the stadium. They're 28th in attendance. They're the worst team in baseball. You guys don't care. You can't watch them. You're not going out to the park. At some point, you got to start making a decision that appears to be selfish and not for us. Or if you're going to make it about us, then cool. Convince Lorenzo Cain to finish out the rest of the season and convince Eric Hosmer to play. Where's Mike Moustakas at? If we're about feeling good for the rest of the year and having a little bit of fun, then go all in on it. But what they're doing right now is the worst of both worlds, in my opinion. Coming up on the other side, Frank Clark sat down with Josina Anderson of CBS Sports. We're going to play the best of that conversation as he explains his decision to go play for the rival Denver Broncos. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Don't miss Royals manager Matt Quatrero every Wednesday at 9 o'clock on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by the DePasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
I wanted to play the best of this conversation for you guys. This is from Josina Anderson. She is talking to Frank Clark. Frank Clark, as you know, will not be a member of the Chiefs this year. He signed a deal with the Denver Broncos. He went on her podcast called Undefined with Josina. Here's Frank Clark talking to Josina Anderson of CBS Sports.
No, the reality is I had to face that a few months ago. You know, when I had the conversation with, you know, my GM, you know, with Veach. That settled in for me a few months ago. You know, the fact that, you know, it was a high chance that I probably wasn't going to be back. You know, it's always a little bit of hope that you can go defend your crown and stuff like that. But I kind of knew, you know, I knew it probably wasn't going to happen, you know, just based off our conversation that we had. You know, we had a personal conversation, you know, and I felt them after the conversation. But, you know, that's why, you know, it's you got to keep the ball going. You got to keep the ball moving. You know, one of my greatest examples of that is Stephon Marbury. You know what I'm saying? He had a hell of a career, you know, just in basketball overall. Playing what 15 years in the NBA, and then he goes overseas and then becomes a legend. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. And you know, I'm not quoting saying like I'm, you know, gonna go overseas or whatever. Football is not that type of, that ain't the type of ball game it is. But he just kept the ball going. He kept the ball rolling. You know, he didn't allow nothing to, you know, deter him or keep him or slow him down from you know, completing his journey. You know, it's all about the journey at the end of the day. And I love it. You know what I'm saying? I'm enjoying it. You know what I mean? And I'm happy. I'm excited. The Chiefs, it's a first-class organization. You know, first off, it's a first-class organization. Andy Reid, starting all the way at the top, you know, coming down to my coach, you know, my head coach. He's forever going to be, you know, my head coach. And Andy Reid, you know, we got shared countless times, many conversations about cars and about life and about family and about, you know, just making the wrong decisions, both decisions he's made and I've made and making the good decisions. I talked about it all. You know, I'm forever grateful for having him. You know what I mean? You know, he turned. I went from I came in a young man coming in, and he turned me into a true man and turned, you know, helped me become a standard guy in this league. So, a man in life. So I'm forever thankful for the opportunity that I had to even play for that man, play for that team, the brotherhood, and the type of you know, it's all the guys that you meet. Man, that's special. I was able to meet some dope ass dudes. You know what I'm saying? All of my homies. You know, everybody know my relationship with Chris. You know, that's my dog. Forever gonna be my dog. but I met, you know, so many other dudes. You know, who was just so cool, man. And you know, my boy Chris Lammons and different guys. Man, there's so many dudes. I got a lot of dudes who wasn't even starters who I was cool with. You know, my punter. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, I can go on and on. Tommy Gunn, my punter, my lone snapper. You know what I'm saying? It was them type of people who I built relationships with, for real. You know what I mean? Because them the people who people really don't associate or talk to as much, or you know what I mean? And I built, you know, I pride myself on building relationships with them type of people, the janitors and, you know, the people in the office who just, you know, doing normal, you know, people who picking up our clothes around the locker room. Them the people who I really miss the most, you know what I'm saying? Real talk.
The real talk. And speaking of real talk, just to kind of get back to what you were saying with Beach, because you said when he talked to you, there was something that he said that you kind of knew what time it was. So, I mean, specifically, what was it? Was it the cap number? Was it what he was making? It was something else? He wasn't going to, like, what was specifically the headline of what he said to you that let you know you knew what time it was?
I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's a business, but, you know, I take a pay cut for, you know, years at a time. You know, I think it was 2 years in a row I took a pay cut, which is fine. But going into my third year, you know, I have a pretty great year. I then, like I said before, I helped my team win another Super Bowl, and I do what I have to do. But then, you know, I have a big pay coming in next year on my deal. I think it's 20-plus million, I think. Which is too, you know, it's high. Obviously, it's high, man. In this era of football, especially in this era of cap too. So, you know, we obviously know something has to be worked out. I wasn't asking for, you know, out the ballpark number. I wasn't out here asking for 15, 20 million. You know what I mean? I was doing like 25. You know, so I told him, yo, you know, my agent told him, actually, I didn't even do no talking. I got all this, you know, from the back end of my agent, Eric Burkhart. But he basically just gave me the scoop and just said, you know, we're trying to get something done with you know, with a few other guys on the team, you know. And I said, you know, I'm with you. I understand fully. And he said, you know, if it comes around in free agency, if we can make something work out, you know, later on, you know, let's stay in contact and we can make something, you know, we can work something out. And I said, all right, I got you. And that was basically the gist of the conversation. You know, did I get an offer? Was it anything said or anything to that degree? No, it was never nothing said, because it was more like him saying, like, yo, I don't want to offer you a number that you're going to feel disrespected if I offer you, you know, to keep it real with you. You know what I mean? But, you know, I'd rather you much, you know, I feel like we both enjoyed the time, which I truthfully, like he said, you know, I truthfully believed in it and agreed to that. You know, I enjoyed my time in KC. I enjoyed the relationship, like I said, that I built with everybody. There's no hard feelings towards nobody in that building.
So that was Frank Clark as he sat down with Josina Anderson on CBS Sports. If you want to hear the full conversation, you can do so. Her podcast is called Undefined. That was Frank Clark talking about his time in Kansas City. A couple of things, Rob. Isn't that what you want a former player to sound like? I didn't hear a lot of anger in his voice. Man, I really wanted to come back and look how they played me after everything I did for them. Like, I didn't get that tone from Frank Clark. Hey, we've been through a lot. We've been through a lot of ups and downs. We've been through a lot of wars. I'm going to have a lot of love for that organization, a lot of appreciation for that organization, everything that they've done, everything they've meant to me on a professional and personal level. You got to remember, Frank Clark was in a contract dispute with his team, and Kansas City was the one that gave you that generational wealth. You were a second round pick. You got the franchise tag. You're looking for big time guaranteed money. You get that money from Kansas City. You then turn that contract into two Super Bowl rings. You turn that into lifetime bonds with these guys. I didn't get a sense of a lot of anger or frustration from what I just heard from Frank Clark. I heard a tone of somebody that understood, hey, it's a business. I had taken two pay cuts before. I looked at my salary and realized that I was going to be making way too much money. I went to them and I asked for this, and they had the respect to not disrespect me. Hey, this is what we're thinking. We don't even want to make an offer that could possibly insult you. We don't think that'd be fair to you to do that. Hey, I got it. Hey, I appreciate you. Big Red. Veach, I appreciate you. I just don't know how you don't have respect for Frank Clark and how he is playing this entire situation, or feel any kind of way that he made a decision to join any other team. I don't care what team that could be. Could be the Broncos, could be the Bengals, could be the Bills. He deserves the opportunity to move on and further his NFL career if the Chiefs didn't want him. And I think the Chiefs, I think he just said it. I knew I wasn't coming back. We'll get into this more on the other side, because I think there is a clear financial reason as well on why Frank Clark is not on the team. We'll get into that coming up on the other side. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by the DePasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Kansas City, it's Brett Veach. You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. So we're talking about Frank Clark. Frank Clark met with Josina Anderson and sort of talked about his time in Kansas City. For those of you that missed it, he said that he knew for a while that he wasn't going to be a member of the Kansas City Chiefs.
No, the reality is I had to face that a few months ago, you know, when I had the conversation with, you know, my GM, you know, with Veach. That settled in for me a few months ago, you know, the fact that, you know, it was a high chance that I probably wasn't going to be back. You know, it's always a little bit of hope that you can go defend your crown and stuff like that. But I kind of knew, you know, I knew it probably wasn't going to happen, you know, just based off our conversation that we had. You know, we had a personal conversation, you know, and I felt them after the conversation. But, you know, that's why, you know, it's you got to keep the ball going. You got to keep the ball moving. You know, one of my greatest examples of that is Stephon Marbury. You know what I'm saying? He had a hell of a career, you know, just in basketball overall, playing, what, 15 years in the NBA. And then he goes overseas and then becomes a legend. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that.
So that was Frank Clark as he met with Josina Anderson on her podcast. I think Frank Clark knew this for this simple reason. Now, we don't really spend a lot of time talking about dead cap, and I'm sure you guys are happy to have made this trade. So the Chiefs saved $21 million by cutting Frank Clark. They saved $21 million against the cap. That's why they were trying to reach a restructure and a pay cut. Hey, we would like for you to come back, but we obviously have a lot of wiggle room here. They were unable to reach an agreement. So the dead cap space that the Chiefs have for Frank Clark is $7.6 million. That's how much you count against their current salary cap. Now, after this year, there's no more dead cap, and then you're free. You're free out of the Frank Clark contract. Like, we have these conversations about restructures and moving money down the line. This is what happens when you move money down the line. You had a really big number on Frank Clark. You were unable to reach an agreement. You have to cut him, and now you got to live with 1 year of the penalty of having that player to that big-time contract and him not living up to the financial ramifications of it. We don't got to break down the salary cap, but that's how it works. If you're big on pro restructure, normally at some point that person is going to have a really big salary cap number, and now you got to figure it out. That was this offseason with Frank Clark. You figured it out. You cut him. So he counts for $7.6 million against the cap. Rob, how much more would you have been willing to give Frank Clark knowing that he's already going to count 7.6 against the cap anyway? That's why I think in the cut where Clark says, Veach told him, we're not even going to make you an offer because it's insulting. At this point in your career, Chiefs fans, how much would you want to pay Frank Clark? What's the number? Because he just got $5.5 million from the Broncos. So you're already counting 7.6 against our number, and you just got the 5.5 from the Broncos. Let's say you were willing to bring him back at $3 million. Is Frank Clark a $10 million a year player at this point? No. I think the Chiefs sort of understood at some point we got to take our medicine. We have overpaid for this player. We're done overpaying for that guy. This is when you go get George Karloftis. This is when you go get Uzama. This is when you go get Charles Aminahou. We're willing to take this 1 year hit on the salary cap to be out of the Frank Clark business. We're done being in the Frank Clark business. And if they had bought Frank Clark back for another contract, inherently they would have been overpaying him this season. The market just told you what he was worth. He's worth a $5.5 million deal that realistically is probably close to $6.5-7 million if he hits these incentives. The Chiefs are paying him 7.6 already to not be on the team this year. I think the Chiefs, Rob, were just simply ready to be out of the Frank Clark business, and I understand why they had come to that financial decision.
I mean, it makes perfect financial sense. I mean, if you're paying $7 million no matter what to not have him on the roster, you're not probably paying another $5 million to try to get him back. You're probably not investing $12 million in him if you weren't going to keep him from the jump. It makes no financial sense. I think the only way the Chiefs are going to be back in the Frank Clark business is if the deal was comically low, like hilariously low. And I think what he said to Josina Anderson, which what the Chiefs told him, which are, we're not going to disrespect you with an offer because, hey, 1 year, 2.5, which is really us paying you $9 million, is disrespectful to Frank Clark. We can get our jokes off about him being a part-time player and this and that. But for a guy of his success in the NFL at his age, he should be getting what he's getting from the Broncos. So I think it's a situation where the Chiefs weren't going to financially invest in him. Frank Clark understood that. Everyone walks their separate ways, and it's as amicable as it can be. But financially, from the dead cap number you laid out, it makes no sense to have stayed in the Frank Clark business next year.
Text line 913-586-7610. CDOT, I think the money is irrelevant if I'm paying another $5 million for any veteran pass rusher. I would have preferred Frank over anyone. I don't think they're paying $5 million for another veteran pass rusher. Think about the last two off seasons when we were at this point. How much did Carlos Dunlap get, Rob? He didn't get $5 million. They didn't want to sign Melvin Ingram to a deal. They eventually brought Melvin Ingram in. How much were they paying Melvin Ingram? So I don't think they're spending another $5 million on a pass rusher. I think they got $2 million for another pass rusher. That's what I think they got. I think that's at the absolute most. Hey, if we find one, cool. If not, we're perfectly fine with it. We feel like we got four or five of them that we like. We've got Aminahu. We've got Chris Jones. We've got Karloftis. We've got Mike Dana. We've got Uzama. We feel like we're fine on pass rush. So maybe they go pick up somebody, but I don't think they're – if they're in the $5 million business, then they should probably save that and wait to see what happens for the deadline. And just wait to see. We all think their roster is good enough. They're making the playoffs with where they currently are. No one's debating that. But who knows where you're at in week 8, week 9, where you need to maybe make a move, somebody comes available, and you go pick up somebody else.
For the sake of the conversation, I looked it up. Last year, the Chiefs paid Carlos Dunlap $3 million. Now, there were incentives and so on and so forth, but that was his APY. The year before that, when they traded for Melvin Ingram, remember, they didn't sign him, they traded for him from the Steelers. They picked up a prorated version of $4 million, which at that point in the season would have been more like $2.5 or $3 million. So in the past two seasons, 2 years, two different players, the Chiefs paid around $6.5 to $7 million on two players for 2 years of pass rusher. I get why they're not paying someone 5.5. They haven't paid a pass rusher 5.5 in the veteran market since they've been in the veteran market.
Text line 913-586-7610. CDOT, I'm good with not adding anyone at that number, but this conversation just makes me appreciate Veach's contract over Dorsey's even more. The secret about the difference in these contracts is that Frank Clark contract is as bad as some of those Dorsey contracts. The difference is Justin Houston didn't get to play with Patrick Mahomes. That's the difference. The difference between the Eric Berry contract and the Frank Clark contract is Eric Berry didn't play with Patrick Mahomes for long enough.
That, like, and the final game, people remember a quality moment. People, Berry's last game, they remember him getting cooked by Gronk.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, though, I think it's pretty obvious that, like, it was over for Eric Berry. Like, his body had broken down to that point. The Frank Clark contract has not been that great. He's just got an opportunity to play in a lot of postseason games because of the team that he's on. But in terms of, like, the regular season player that they got, Frank Clark's contract is pretty bad. Like, they traded a first-round pick for a guy who never got to double-digit sacks, was never consistently healthy, and wasn't consistently a game-making, game-player kind of person. He wasn't. That's not where they were. But he got to play with Patrick Mahomes. Like, sometimes your situation matters. I don't know what Klay Thompson is if he gets drafted by the Memphis Grizzlies. He didn't get drafted by Memphis, though. He got drafted to play with Steph Curry. It worked for him. Frank Clark just was on the right team at the right time. But I don't think his contract was great by any means. Coming up on the other side, Rob and I have been debating this NFL topic for a couple of days. We'll bring it to you guys. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.